Psalm 1, if you would please, Psalm 1, to Maryland. And I was in my 40s at the time, in my mid-40s, and somewhere along the way, someone told me that if I would take potassium each day, it would be good for me. Now, if you're a medical professional or a nurse, you're thinking, Pastor, you're crazy, okay? Marguerite, wait till the end of the story before you respond, all right? So I started taking potassium every day. I believed that was going to help me. I would go to the doctor in Maryland and he would say, your heart rate is really slow. He said, your heart only beats about 50 or 55 times a minute. And I thought proudly, well, I'm just in good shape. You know, I go to the gym and that's just because I'm in. No, I was taking potassium. So I got to Arizona, still taking potassium almost every day. And I went to the doctor and he said, your heart beats really slow. And then I went to get a CDL physical so I could drive trucks, so I could drive the church bus when I need to. And the nurse says, there's something wrong with your heart. It's just not right. And I went to the doctor to get an EKG. And he said, yeah, he says your heart function is good, but your rhythm is really slow. And I just mentioned to him, well, you know, I take potassium every day. And he said, what? Are you crazy? He said, do you understand that potassium is what makes your heart beat? And that if your potassium balance is not right, then it's going to make your heart not right either? And so for 20 years almost, well, not 20, maybe 15 years, I thought something was going to help me, and it wasn't. So I stopped taking potassium, and sure enough, my heart rate came back up where it should be, and everybody's happy now. But the moral of the story is this. When you believe that something will help you, you will do it, won't you? I take vitamins every day because I believe they will help me. I cannot give you an observation that they do, but I think they will. I know I have to watch what I eat and I have to exercise a little bit because, of course, that's the remedy for all maladies is diet and exercise. At least that's what the internet said. The internet's always right, isn't it? So you do what you believe will help, don't you? Now, let me ask you a question. Isn't it safe for me to say we all want to be happy? Is that a safe statement? We all want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy, is there? Well, let me change the words on you a little bit. Isn't it safe for me to say we all would like to be blessed by God? Amen? Now, don't get too lost in the words, but the word blessed means happy. Or prosperous, and particularly with the idea that the right kind of prosperity brings happiness. And by the way, if you're just simply rich, that does not guarantee your happiness. But if you're rich in heaven, it sure helps, doesn't it? Happiness, happy. So in Psalm 1, the very first thing he says is, blessed is the man. Now, that's not a gender-related statement. It's just talking about human beings. Blessed is the man. Now, my question to you is, do you want to be that man? Amen? We agree we want to be blessed. When I was younger, I used to go and run. I'm not really fond of running. It's just a little bit too hard on my knees and so on. I'd rather ride a bike, which Mr. Greshaw is very good at and convinced me to start doing. But sometimes what we do to make us feel better is difficult, isn't it? Exercise is difficult. Dieting is difficult. But they're good for you. So if he says, blessed is the man, and then the next word, by the way, is that. And then he's going to tell you what that fellow does or what that person does. Blessed is the man that, and you say, I want to be that man, I want to be that person, I want God to bless me. I think we came to the right place, didn't we? Because he says, this is the man that's going to be blessed. Now, if you believe this, I'm not talking about a casual belief, you know, it sounds good. I'm talking about that's right. That's the kind of belief I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? So, for example, when you got saved, if you really got saved, I believe you understood somewhere along the way, I'm a sinner. And you also probably clearly understood, and I've seen this, sinners go to hell. I've seen the large eyes on somebody that realized, I need to get saved. And there's an element of fear there. What if I don't get saved in time? How many of you just at the last, just prayed because you were afraid it'd be too late if you waited any longer? Anybody like that? Several of us, yeah. And so when I got saved, I thought, that's right. The Bible's right. Whosoever shall call. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew hell was real. And I came to the Lord to save me from my sin. No doubt about it. Have that same kind of faith with the rest of the Bible. Blessed is the man that. And then we'll see who that fellow is. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I won't be long tonight, but I want to try to get this in. There's three questions I want to ask and answer. But let's read Psalm 1 in its entirety and have a word of prayer. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God, please bless our time for these next few moments. Help us to say and see what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of pieces of trivia. The word bless, blessed, and blesseth, 500 times almost the Bible uses that word bless. It's a good thing. In one way, it's the opposite of curse. To bless someone is to call down good upon them or to portend or to predict future good for them, just like cursing is to call down evil. Blessed is appears 37 times in the Bible. The first time is Numbers 24:9, where God says, blessed is he that will bless Israel. I just want you to know, our nation, when we stand with Israel, God will stand with us in a different way. And these people that you hear that are opposed to Israel and saying wicked things about the Jews, and it's called anti-Semitic language, which if you want to be fancy about it, but those people that oppose Israel, they're on the wrong side of God. Israel's God's chosen people. And God will bless, he says plainly. The very first time he mentions bless in the Bible, Numbers 24:9, he says, blessed is he that blesseth Israel. The very last blessing in the Bible, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Keepeth, it's the idea to guard, and it just means to hang on to them and not to let them go. You'll often find the Bible connected with blessing. Simple definition of blessing is to make somebody happy. If you want to consider how to have a good life, I think happiness ought to be part of that life, don't you? Notice that the Psalm 1, talks about two kind of people. Blessed, not blessed. But the phrases it uses are words like righteous and ungodly. There are people today that they say, well, you know, I prayed and I got saved, and they keep on living a wicked life. That's not godly. If you really got saved, I know God will work in your heart and change you. So, three questions. Which man is happy? Who is going to be happy? And obviously, if we want to be that man, then some of this ought to apply to us. And it's in verses 1 and 2. There are really two things you see here. One of those are the things he doesn't do, and the other one is the things that he does do. And I'll just rephrase this to maybe help you understand it better. This man avoids ungodly counsel, sinful ways, and the scornful. Ungodly counsel is listening to and agreeing to people that say things which are opposed to what God says. You want some examples. Someone says, well, if it feels good, do it. That is ungodly counsel. In fact, that happens to be the mantra of Satanism. If it feels good, do it. Doesn't matter if it's right, if it's wrong. There's a thing called relational ethics. If you've heard the term, it means if you think it's good for you, it must be good. That is not what the Bible says. Ungodly counsel. And this man that's going to be blessed, the first thing it says is he doesn't walk in ungodly counsel. Then his path He does not walk down the sinner's path. It says he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And I don't want to misuse the words there. There's a progress taking place here. There's walk, stand, and sit. So he listens to ungodly counsel. That's a walk. And then he stands in that way or that manner or that place where sinners stand. And basically what he does is he walks down the sinner's path, and it results in a scorner. And the scorner, you might not know the meaning of that word too well, but you've heard it before. A scorner is someone who rejects what God says. Maybe they mock it. Maybe they disagree with it. They make fun of it, or they laugh at it, or they disregard it. And folks, those are dangerous things to do. So here's this fellow. He does not do some things. He doesn't walk in ungodly counsel. He doesn't stand in the path of the place of sinners. He doesn't sit or abide by the seat of the scornful. But there's something he does instead, and it's what that word in verse 2, but, this is the contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means to take pleasure in something. Isn't it funny how when you get saved, all of a sudden the Bible is special to you? Some people that are not saved, they read the Bible, they don't know what it means. Other people find it monotonous or boring. Some people say, the Bible's just like any other book. But when you got saved, you got changed, didn't you? And all of a sudden you read the Bible and you say, hey, this is the truth. I told you my friend George Rennick, the fellow in Salt Lake City that would fix cars and good mechanic, worked out of his garage. He could fix motorcycles. He could fix just about anything. When he got saved, he went up into the mountains and just camped and read the entire Bible cover to cover. And he was so excited about it. He didn't want to stop till he finished. That takes about a week if you want to do that sometime, about 80 hours to read it out loud. And the Bible meant something to him. Does the Bible mean something to you? Amen? Well, delight in it. Make it your delight. You know, every now and then, well, there are some foods that we really, really like, and they're normally really, really expensive. I know it's going to be hard to find a common illustration here. How many of you like, what's something everybody likes? Steak? Y'all like steak? Really good steak, right? I like really good steak. It costs too much money, so we don't eat steak all the time. We eat a lot more chicken than we do beef. But something really good. Who likes frog legs? Brother Greshaw, Mr. McMahon, and Matt. Okay, my friends. No, you don't like frog legs? You love them. Oysters? All right, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I know. You know, up until I had tasted an oyster, I had no idea whether I would like it or not. I used to tell my kids, I have a son who doesn't like watermelon. What? Everyone likes watermelon. No, I don't like watermelon. Try it. You'll like it. When you tasted that first bite of watermelon, you say, hey, I want some more of that. You ever seen a baby when you give them like pizza and they're like, I don't know. And then they take a bite and all of a sudden they're, give me more. If you will try the Bible, you will find it's delightful. Amen? The devil's going to try to keep you out. They're going to try to keep you busy. He's going to try to get you to do something different. Oh, you haven't got time today. You got to work. You got things to get done. No. Make time for the Bible. It's delightful. And if you're saved, you'll be able to delight in the Bible. And some of the young people here have asked me the question, how can I be more godly? Step one, read the Bible. Amen? Step two, pray. Kind of interchangeable there. So this is fellow. Who's the blessed man? Now, he's a man that avoids some things and delights in the Bible. That's the law of the Lord, by the way. Do you believe that? Do you believe what he just said? It'll change what you do if you believe it, won't it? Amen? You say, Pastor, that sounds easy. I don't know. That staying away from sin can be hard sometimes. Young people, the world comes to them and says, oh, if you did this, you'd be happy. If you had that, if you saw that, if you experienced that, you'd be happy. Don't worry that God doesn't approve. It'll make you happy. Doesn't that sound familiar? I think I heard that in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil talked to Eve. And he said, if you did this, you'd be better. Why? You'd be like God, knowing good and evil. Ye shall not surely die. That's the first thing he said. He lied to her. And she listened to him. And guess what? God was right. Well, guess what? God's right. So who is that man? Who is that happy man? He's the man that avoids some things and he delights in some things. What happens to that man? Now watch this. Let's go quick. What happens to him? It's in verse 3. He shall be. And that's kind of an infinitive there. It just keeps on going. It doesn't stop. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's stability. The water, I use the word saturated, but it's just to be continually provided for there. And the water, we'll talk about that in a minute. It bringeth forth his fruit in due season. He's productive. He's seasonally productive. And his leaf shall not wither. That's sturdy. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is successful. So what is that man? He's stable, saturated, seasonal, sturdy, and successful. I kind of like the sound of that. I say, oh, Pastor, this is prosperity theology. It is not. It is simply the Bible telling you, if you will be that man, God will do certain things. You say, you know, Pastor, I just don't know how to stay put. I'm constantly having to move around. I'm a vagabond. I'm a nomad. Folks, walk with God and you can be stable. I never have seen trees hop up and move. Amen? My dad grew up in a place called Rocky Arroyo. It's in New Mexico, and there's a little creek that runs through there, and it runs pretty much all the time, but normally not more than 2 or 3 feet wide. But still, the creek bed's always got water in it, always did. And he said when he was a boy, he'd go down there, and they had cottonwood trees that were 100 feet high. Shade, and cool. If you've ever driven from here to Nogales, as you're driving south of Tucson, you look off to your left, which is to your east, and you see down there a row of trees out there. I can guarantee you where there's trees, there's water. Because trees can't grow where there's not water. Christians can't grow without the Word of God. Amen? So thank you, Bronson. That's nice of you. So walking in that way and delighting in the Bible causes us to be watered continually. It causes us to produce fruit. It causes us to be sturdy. What causes something to wither? We live in Arizona. We know all about that. Thank you so much. That's kind of you. I've told my stories to you before. Came home one day about 3 or 4 years ago and looked outside. One of my trees was dead. All the leaves had fallen off of it. I thought, it'll come back. It didn't. It was gone. The heat got to the roots and the thing just died that day. Folks, the world has some heat to try to put you through. Doesn't it? The devil has some trials he's going to put up in your life if he can. Some things are going to come along that are going to make you tend to wither unless God protects you. Amen? God can protect us. He really, really can. In fact, he says right here, you won't wither. That doesn't mean it won't get hot. That means you won't wither. Some people wither, and I hate to see that because I know that the problem is in verse 2. He says that his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And all he's saying there is, you say, oh, if I start a business, I'll be rich and famous. If God tells you to start a business and you start one, he'll prosper it. But God might not be telling you to start a business. He might be telling you to be a missionary. Oh, where can we go? What's a good mission field? Somebody name a rough one. Iraq. God says, Bronson, go to Iraq. Bronson says, man, I was going to stay here in the States and have fun, get a job, buy a nice car, get married, own a big house, have a lot of goodies, eat out every night. Or go to mom's house and she'll feed me because she cooks good. I don't want to go to Iraq. But if he'll go to Iraq, he'll prosper. Can God prosper us? Amen? When we're in his will, he can. All right, so the first question, which man is happy? The one that avoids certain things, the one that delights in the Bible. What happens to that man? He's stable, he's watered, he's productive, he's sturdy, he doesn't wither, he's prosperous. Now, what about the other men? Got 5 minutes. We're going to make it. Someone says, I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible. It was a book written a long time ago by a bunch of guys. And what did they know? That's not where the Bible is. The Bible's the Word of God. So somebody says, I don't agree with that. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to delight in God's Word. I'm not going to walk with Him, be watered by Him. So the ungodly in verse 4, he just says it. They are not so. So what? Planted, stable, watered, productive, sturdy, prosperous. They're not so. So, Pastor, I know a lost guy, he made a lot of money. Yeah, I know some lost guys that made a lot of money that are in hell now. Ask them what difference it made. Amen? By the way, I know some lost guys with a lot of money that aren't happy at all. I've seen it. I know some people that have made a lot of money and been wicked. You know, you can be rich and still be miserable. The ungodly are not so. Now look what they are like in verse 4. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I think we've heard this illustration so many times, but just in case you haven't, really quick. When they would harvest wheat, they would go and they'd collect the wheat grains and they'd put them in a basket. They'd take them back to a place and they'd get a flat sheet of straw or whatever, that woven basket that was kind of flat, and put some of that wheat on there and then toss it up in the air and let it hit. And toss it up in the air and let it hit. And what happens when it hits that mat and hits the other wheat is the loose leaf on the outside of it breaks loose. And they keep tossing it up, and you hope for a slightly windy day, because what happens is when you toss the chaff, the wheat up, the chaff blows away. Where does it go? Who cares? Just get rid of it. It's going to blow, and if there's a good wind, it might blow miles and miles and miles. Unstable, driven by the wind. You know some folks that are driven by circumstances? When things are going well, according to them, they're happy. And then when things aren't going well, they're sad. We shouldn't be that way. He says those folks that will not do verse 2 and 3 are going to be verse 4, like chaff. They're going to be unstable. They're going to be insecure. Look at verse 5. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, what's he talking about stand? They will be judged, no doubt about that. But how many of you have been to court and heard the judge say, not guilty? Doesn't that feel good? Or, I've told you the stories, I won't tell them tonight, but in Maryland we had a big school, so we were in court all the time. Went to court several times. My favorite one was when the insurance company tried to sue us. And long story short, the judge said, church, you're right. Insurance company, you're wrong. Man, that feels good. And I've heard that two or three times. Never have in Maryland, never been to court and lost. Never one time. Because of God, not because of me. Not because of the attorney, because of God. In fact, sometimes I did what the attorney said not to do, and we won because God was good. That feels good to stand in front of the judge and the judge say not guilty. I've seen the other side of that coin. I saw a fellow one time who was in front of the judge, and the judge said, take him away. He's guilty. Put him in jail. And the bailiff comes and puts his hands behind his back and takes him off. He's not standing. He's taken away. And the rest of this verse explains it real well. He says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows your way. And in particular, when your way is God's way, God's watching, isn't he? God's protecting. God's on your side. Doesn't it feel good to know that God's on your side? That's one of the reasons sin bothers us so much. We sin and we disobey God and we go, oh, now God's displeased with me. I don't want God to be displeased with me. I like it when I'm in favor with God. I want him to be on my side. Young people, there's nothing better than that. You say, well, if I did something wrong, I could make some money. Won't do you any good. If you'll do something right, God can take care of you in ways that money can't. And he can take care of your needs too. So this ungodly man, this other man, this man that doesn't delight in God's law, no stability, no security, no defense. So real quick, and I'm done. 2 minutes. First of all, God delights in those that delight in his word. Amen? What you think about, that word meditate in verse 2, what you think about is going to result in either blessings or no blessings. Think, don't just read the Word of God. Think about it. Memorize it. Ponder it. Have it in your mind to use when you need it. We do not ensure our own stability or our own productivity. God does that. Amen? God does that. Say, why would our church prosper? Because of God. We can do some things, as we see here, to bring that about, but God's the one that does the work. And then it is very important to understand that our behavior results in blessing or not having blessing. It's because God makes that happen. He knows our way, and God knows your way. If we really believe this, it'll change the way we act. We will avoid some things. We'll avoid the ungodly counsel, the sinners in the corners. We'll delight in the Bible and read it often. We'll think about the Bible on purpose and think about it all the time. And if we really do these things, God really will do what He says. And if we will not do these things, then there will be an alternative. It was mentioned there in verse 4 and 5 and 6. That's a good psalm, isn't it? Want to have a good life? Want to be happy? There it is. Spurgeon called this the preface psalm. In other words, it kind of is a concept that the rest of the psalms are based on. I'm telling you, you cannot give yourself as good of a life as God can give you. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm also telling you, if you will do what God asked you to do, He'll do what He promised to do every time. And as you grow older, and this will amaze you, I can't get my hands around this sometimes, you'll start to see God blessing and God blessing and God blessing and God blessing and God blessing until you're just sort of like, wow, I can't take anymore. This is good. And then it gets better. Amen? You think of a fellow like Paul, you think, wow, Paul had a rough life, stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, put in jail, beaten, placed in stocks and all the things. Paul says, you know what? I've got joy. How can you explain that? God. Amen? Do you have that joy? You want it? Here it is, right here. Let's all stand and pray.